December 12th, 2010. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Good morning. Please stand with us as we sing Here I Am to Worship.
History and every single breath we breathe has led us here and brought us to our knees. From carrying the curse we bear and praying that He's heard our prayers to set us free. Oh, set us free. 'Cause we could never get back home with broken hearts. So home has come to meet us where we are. So sing that God is with us, sing, He has come to save us, sing, He will never leave us, glory in the highest, everybody sing, to the child who is our King, He has come to bring redemption to us, God has with us, glory in the highest, everybody sing.
For He is born in Bethlehem, Son of God and Son of Man, this little child is changing all we know. By carrying the curse we bear for everybody everywhere, and He will someday die to bring us life, and we will rise to meet Him in the sky.
So sing, the God is with us, sing, He has come to save us.
God, who is our King, He has come to bring redemption to us.
do want to sing. It's a dark day. It's a very Advent-y day, right? Because Advent's about light piercing the darkness, all right? And so we need to receive this light and share it with those around you. So receive it as I tell you, the greeting from God, mercy and peace and abundance. Share it with those and spread the light around.
Good morning. If you could please take out your bulletins for the lighting of the Advent wreath. John asked Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus said, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me."
The children can come forward for the youth message.
Dresses and skirts. How pretty.
So good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, there we go. Phew. Jeez, I got nervous there. I thought I saw you guys out there. There you are. Okay, here's the deal. I was talking to my oldest son yesterday, and he said this thing to me. He said, "It's hard to believe the unbelievable." Yeah, I know. That's what I said too. I go, those are big words. But those are really big words, aren't they? It's hard to believe the unbelievable. I did that too. But you know what? This is what it means. It means that sometimes things happen that just don't seem to make sense. Just don't even make sense. And you can't quite figure out how it all happened. And like I was thinking about this. Have you ever seen little seeds? You've all seen seeds, right? Yeah, they're little tiny. Like watermelon seeds. Perfect. Perfect. And those seeds are so tiny and so little. And someone tells you to plant it and water it and put it in the sun and it's going to grow into something big. Is that like crazy? Don't you think that's crazy? These little teeny tiny. No? Why don't you think it's crazy?
I don't really know how to grow fruit.
Because you wouldn't know how to. Well, who grows it then? No one. Actually, that's a pretty good answer, I think. I still think that's pretty crazy to put a little tiny seed in the ground. Yeah, you've done it. Yeah, and then you water it and you put it in the sun. You never actually did it, but you probably have heard of it, yeah. And it grows up into a flower, or for goodness sake, some of them even grow up into trees and stuff. Well, it's like that in the Bible. There are a lot of things in the Bible that seem sort of weird to have to believe. Who grows it all?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus and God help it. Help it those things to grow. But that's kind of weird too, isn't it? I think that's kind of weird because in the Bible it says that Jesus made everything and he makes it grow. He made you and me and he helps us to grow. And that seems kind of crazy until I think about this. I don't think I could make anything as cool as every one of you guys. I don't think I could do that. I don't think anybody in here could make people as cool as you all are. Each one of you is so neat and so special. And I can't imagine ever being able to do that. So then I look in the Bible and it says Jesus or God created people. And I have to go, well, we can't do it. So God must have done it. Even though I don't see God every day, and even though I can't touch God like I can touch you, I have to kind of believe that God does it. There's just so many things. And the Bible is full of stuff like that, saying things that it's hard to believe, but we kind of do. Just like when we say, all right, the seed's going to grow into a flower, we also have to believe that the things that they say in the Bible must be true too. So I want you to do this. Believe the unbelievable. Is that crazy? Yeah, but let's do that. And let's close our eyes now for a little bit of prayer. Here we go. Dear Lord, so many things in our lives that we just don't quite get. But yet, we need to believe. And we believe that you are the one that helps it all to happen, that you're the one that's in charge, that you're the one that makes this world the way it is and us special and everything in it. And so, Lord, we believe the unbelievable. Thank you. Amen.
Sign to you, a baby born in Bethlehem. Come and worship, do not be afraid. Company of angels, glory in the high.
when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
Turn with me to page 5 and 6 of your bulletins. Just a few announcements I want to highlight. First off, on the top of 5, you see the announcement about the community garden, and welcome you to read that and to think about our mission, not just to evangelize, not just for justice, but also to care for creation. If you're willing to help us develop the concept, see Laura DePrato or myself. And two beneath that is this Christmas season, let's remember those among us who are unemployed. Those either in our congregation or community who have been willing to put their jobs out here, and you may have some, your company may be hiring. Please send any of that information to the office and we can distribute it. But we'll keep them in our prayers. And then on page 6, underneath worship at the bottom, I think we need a family or two yet at 10:45 service, and we might need a lector or so on Christmas Eve. So if you look at that in the fellowship hall, that will be very helpful. Now, one last announcement. There are many things that you folks do as a congregation that keep me up late on Saturday night. Weddings, stuff like that, fun stuff. But last night was particularly great. As Raritan Valley Community College honored our own Ray Bateman for his decades of service, not only to our state, our community, but to the college. And Ray, I just want you to stand up. Oh, wow. Well, it was quite a long night, wasn't it? Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, you know what I didn't know is that I'm not the only person that Ray sends letters to. So I began saying about how nervous I was with his prayer. I had it written out because, you know, Ray is my frequent correspondent, usually positive, but sometimes, you know, insightful critiques or whatever. And everybody laughed. And then there was story after story about Ray's letters that come daily and weekly, even to family members, I understand. So you're a prolific writer. But you exemplify the spirit of Christian service, and we appreciate how brightly your light shines, and thank you. And let's just one more time thank God for what Ray does. And I've got a request. Your son won't accept my $20 from he. I owe it to him from the Friday night dinner before the Peter Mayer concert. And he wouldn't take it last night because he thought it looked like a bribe. But you know, when do you know a pastor with his hands out? It's always empty, right? So you can send it to Raritan Valley. You can give it to him. You can put it in the collection plate. I don't care. I don't want it. Thank you, and we all seek to serve like you do. Would you join me in a prayer? Lord, we are so thankful for all of the light that you put in this dark world. First of all, your light, the light of Jesus Christ, the believing the unbelievable. We thank you for that, O God, because it would seem oftentimes that darkness is going to win out. But we believe, we confess, that your light and the light that we reflect in our lives and our community is what will win out. And so help us again this morning as we begin to read more and more closely to the Christmas story of your great light that has penetrated our world. In your name we pray, and all God's people said. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The scripture reading today is in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So believe the unbelievable. N.T. Wright, for those of you that like to study Christianity, N.T. Wright is a great scholar who writes accessibly to bright lay folks like yourself. He writes a story, and his story goes something like this. Once upon a time, there was a dictator who ruled his land. And this dictator was very rational and sensible. And so everything in his land and his country ran smoothly except one thing, the water supply. You see, through some amazing geological circumstance, the water of that land was constantly bubbling up and pooling and puddling and becoming little lakes and even shooting up like geysers in different places. And houses would often be flooded. This is a great day to tell this story. Houses would often be flooded, and fields would be flooded, and roads would be broken up by the power of this underground stream. And so the dictator mulled over this problem, and the rational ruler decided that what he would do is he would cement over the entire land. It was the Hoover Dam of engineering, only it was horizontal. And the cement was so thick that the mighty water rushing underneath could not boil or bubble up anymore. And he put pipes, and every person in the land got just as much water as they need, not a drop too much, not a drop too little. And the people of the land praised the leader. Our great leader, they said, has finally made the water come to us just as we need and only through a faucet. And then a generation passed. And cracks developed in the cement. And pretty soon, what became sort of a combination of an earthquake and a volcano, the water spewed forth again, and cracks, more cracks developed, and puddles and streams and geysers broke out, and houses and fields were flooded again. Roads were broken up, and bridges collapsed. It was a disaster. Except some people were happy that now they could access the water freely without going through the system. Dr. Wright goes on to say that we are the citizens of this land. And the dictator, he says, is the materialist philosophy of the five senses that has ruled our Western culture from about 1780, he estimates, till about 1980, where everything was to be where science rules, where the suburb was the rational place of living, and he says that it tamped down the fantastical beliefs of some religion, or at least this philosophy kept that water, that spirituality from bubbling up in public places and kept it just to a private opinion. That's interesting, isn't it? And so we have a debate then, if that's true, between people who believe in just the five senses, we'll call them cement pourers, and people who believe in a sixth sense. We'll call them springers. That people who believe that God somehow breaks into history, that somehow the unbelievable can be believed. And this debate is going on pretty heavily in our culture. Certain cement pourers, you understand this. Well, let's start with you before we go to other folk. How odd would it be if I stood here this morning and asked all the virgins to raise their hands? Please don't. But, you know, and then and then said, and how many of you are with child? The elders would take me aside and say, what are you doing stuff like that for? But you know, right, when you're out in the culture and you're talking to people, and some people will say, you know, the most difficult thing to believe about Christianity is these irrational leaps of logic that you take, these superstitions that you believe in, like the virgin birth. Indeed. Scholars, more and more, many scholars, I would say, are turning away from the Christianity of their youth. Professor Bart Ehrman is one. He's written a book called Jesus Interrupted. And he talks about how he left the fundamentalism of his youth, and now he's kind of an agnostic, it would seem, as I read the book. And he says things like, well, you know how these strange superstitions developed? It was like an ancient game of telephone tag. What happened was that, how would the gospel story spread? Well, you know, one person tells another by word of mouth, right? One town tells another. He says, I imagine from this that, you know, what ended up being the virgin birth must have started out as something like born in Virginia, right? And beyond that, he points out, and others point out with him, that ancient pagan myths had stories of gods having sex with human mothers and offspring developing and all of this sort of stuff. He says it's just part of just a story. And even some who are biblical scholars would follow along with this. One of the great Bible commentators of the last half of the 20th century is William Barclay. I have all of his commentaries and the New Testament, and I refer to them often. And Barclay says, well, you know, there are only three passages in the Bible that talk about the virgin birth out of some 30,000 verses. He says, so you know, it's not that well supported, and you know, we probably don't need to take it, and this is his quote, in a literal and physical sense, end quote. All we are about have to say is that somehow, in the mystery of God, that the Holy Spirit was Jesus' Father, and with the combination of Mary, we know that Jesus is the God-man. And many people take that view, and I think it's probably an okay view, but it's not mine. Those are the cement pours. How about the springers? There are springers, like Roman Catholic theologian Raymond Brown, who says, well, the presence of Mother Mary and Brother James in the early church would probably have stopped a lot of legendary stories like Bart Ehrman's telephone tag. And then they go on to point out that, you know, those pagan myths about the gods having children with human mothers are really quite different in two main ways. One, the pagan stories ended up with a mermaid god, you know, sort of half god, half human, where the early Christians from the very beginning confessed that Jesus is Lord, and they developed that to say in the Nicene Creed some centuries later, he's very God and very man, which means 100% God and 100% man. And besides, Springer scholars say, you know, why would the early church invent a story like the virgin birth? Because what would it lead to? It would lead to people saying that Jesus is, excuse me, but this is a correct usage of the word, a bastard child. So that's the debate, cement pourers and springers. Can you believe the unbelievable? Oh, I'm sorry, I never gave you the second reason. I gave you the first reason of how the pagan myths are different from the virgin birth story, that it's, you know, Jesus 100% God, not half and half, and 100% man. The second reason is that pagan myths never attempt to locate their story in history. In other words, unlike Luke, the historian of the Gospels, there are no places, dates, circumstances surrounding that say that, you know, this is intended to be taken historically. Well, basically, you figured this out by the way I've laid it out, that I'm a springer. I believe that God breaks into history, floods history, sometimes just as a puddle, sometimes it's more, and I believe we can believe the unbelievable, though I don't understand it. And I remember a conversation that I think I've shared with you once, but you've forgotten it, that I had about 25 years ago, walking on the sidewalk of 13th Street about 10 p.m. at night with Natsuko and a mutual friend, Terry, who went on to become an editor at the Church Herald. And the three of us had just come out of a play at Hope College on Agnus Dei, the Agnes of God. It was about the virgin birth. And Natsuko was saying, you know, I've always had a hard time understanding this virgin birth thing. And now I'm walking next to her, and I know I've tried to explain it a couple times, and that didn't work. And so I was surprised when what Terry said struck her. And Terry says, well, Natsuko, the way I look at it is it all depends on whether you believe God broke into human history. For if God came in Jesus, then couldn't God come any way God chose? He's God. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, wow, that's great, Harry. I said, I guess that's, I think about today, that's why I don't believe that the world is sidewalked, but I believe that there are these springs of spirituality, places that God breaks out in sometimes spontaneous and often surprising ways to meet us not only in the gospel story in the manger, but also in everyday life. And I submit to you that we've seen it in this church in the last couple of weeks. When we had the uh, the resignation just before Thanksgiving of Brian for personal reasons, I was wondering, how in the world are we going to pull off Christmas? And then Ed and Judy Stott step forward and become interim music administrators, and Lauren steps forward and becomes interim accompanist, and a number of volunteer directors or co-directors step forward for the different choirs. And you, 2 weeks ago, if you were here and I asked you to pray every day, I've been around some of you where your cell phone went off at noontime because you had made a commitment to pray like I asked you to, that God's plan would be revealed in your life, not only but in this church, because that sudden resignation was different than our plan. And all of those are ways in which God is springing up, surprising us in surprising and very powerful ways to make sure that we're able to continue to sing, Gloria in excelsis Deo. And then we're able to go on and have a great concert at Peter Mayer's concert Friday night. Many of you there, 450 people, raised a lot of money for charity. I understand we had a bunch of men at the men's breakfast with St. Bernard's yesterday, though I didn't make it. And I understand we had some 50 women at the women's breakfast. And, you know, all ways in which we're celebrating together. And the Spirit of God is springing up and welling up within us, right? And then, one of you who's here this morning sent me an email this last week, forwarded one to me regarding a Drexel College senior's final filmmaking project. And get this, he must be a Springer. It's entitled Providence. And just the title implies that. Let me quote from his email. Providence, quote unquote, is an endearing story about the significant events that happened to a boy named Joseph at certain stages of his life. To Joseph, these major events are under his control. Yet, as the audience watches, it becomes clear that the outcome of these events have been swayed in a certain direction due to the hidden actions of God that God has attended upon Joseph's life. I don't know how the movie portrays that, but it'd be interesting. And then he goes on and says, this is like the clergy, right? With a handout empty. My film is in need of major need of donations. If you have a moment, visit my website, www.providencethefilm.com. The funds collected through this website will go towards the rental of lenses, food, transportation, and all the other various expenses associated with a short independent film. In Christ, Mike Stone. Don't know Mike Stone. Maybe the sender knew him. But Mike, you see, is a Springer. He believes that God springs and wells up in everyday life, and he intends to show that. And if you're a Springer too, that is someone who believes that God is active in life, then even virgins can give birth. Pray with me. God, certainly some of the stories that you lay out before us, even in the story of this manger and how it begins, is fantastical. It would seem to be superstitious in so many ways, and we can't begin to understand it, and it is humanly impossible. And yet, Lord, so many of us, maybe we're here looking for a new faith. Maybe we're here looking for faith at all. Maybe we're struggling with our faith in another way. Maybe this is just a routine Sunday for us, oh God. But help us see our choice between believing in a sidewalk cemented world or a world in which, in exciting and exotic ways, your Spirit can spew forth. And I want to believe in the latter. And so I thank you for this great story. And I thank you for the way in Jesus Christ you've come to me, and you've come to us. And Lord Jesus, on this dark day, we receive your nourishing water of your Spirit, and we receive, O God, your light. For it's in your name we pray, and all God's people said. Please stand with me and confess in the words of the most ancient of Christian creeds, even stuff like the virgin birth. Saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, strengthened in your faith, and now would you give generously and joyously as God has given to you.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with His hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Lord, we're grateful for many blessings. We're grateful for the rain that probably ought to be balancing us out in terms of the previous drought conditions, I pray. And I'm grateful we don't have the 10 inches of snow that Grand Rapids and other places have. We're grateful, oh God, that we can be together. We're grateful that we can live into the powerful message of and the powerful story of Jesus and his birth. And we're grateful, oh God, that we can give of our tithes and offerings, that like Ray Bateman last night, we are blessed to be a blessing out in the community so that this town, this community, this state, this country will be a better place and be more honoring to you. So we give ourselves to that, Lord Jesus. Use us. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. You may be seated. Did I mention we think we had about 450 people at the Peter Mayer concert? More than ever, every year it seems to be growing. And a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of work put in by Rick Fontana there particularly, and Dan Pontillo and others, and we enjoyed a great time. So, and blessings on all those who led and worked yesterday in the women's and men's breakfast also. So join me with hearts overflowing with thanksgiving and also hearts breaking with need to add to these prayers that I have in my hand, your prayers that you speak out loud or in the quietness of your heart. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we're thankful, first of all, for you and for this message of a world of fountains that you create and that you sustain even on this rainy day. And we're grateful, Lord, for all of those blessings then that we see that come from your hand. We're thankful for the wonderful Peter Mayer concert that we co-sponsored and the proceeds which will help support many local missions in the Somerville area. We're grateful that a friend Ray is home from the hospital. We're grateful for the life of James Robertson, my uncle, who passed away yesterday, Gail Burgess's uncle. We're grateful for the resolution of a very stressful problem, the successful surgery for 9-year-old Adam. And Lord Jesus, we add other thanksgivings. Hear us as we thank you for the Bateman family, the Christmas season, and for Kelly being back up from South Carolina, who's thankful for the Christmas season. For Rick's wife, Karen, for helping him get it done Friday for the Peter Mayer concert. The new job opportunity available to Pam and the adjustments that go along with it. For friends. And I'll add for the musical that's being pulled off beautifully, not today as originally scheduled, but next Sunday. And then, Jesus, we also, our hearts pool with concern for people. Continued prayers for Vicky Tomasco as she heals at home. We pray for a safe flight for Sarah as she returns from England tomorrow. We pray for those struggling with mental illness. Help those to believe the sometimes unbelievable, that progress is possible. Prayer for a difficult teenager and hopes that she opens her heart so her parents can help her. For the Kursar family who lost a 19-year-old grandson to suicide and are losing a second 21-year-old grandson to a rare form of bone cancer. For Paula Grill, who was diagnosed with breast cancer, which was also found in her lymph glands. And then, Lord Jesus, other concerns that we bring before. Oh, I have a few more here. Kimberly B., who is fighting lung cancer. And for James Robertson, Gail Burgess's uncle, as his family, as they grieve the loss of him. Those affected by the fire in Israel, and a friend John to have a successful surgery on Thursday. And to these prayers, O God, we add those many requests that are in our hearts, either silently or we speak them out loud now. Hear us, Jesus, as we ask you for. for people who are struggling for food and finances. For Andy Long and all those fighting in the war over the Christmas season. For the, I believe it was Brubaker family, the death of Leroy, on the death of Leroy. For surgery on Thursday. So then, God, we bring these prayers before you, Jesus, as with people who don't have enough food, people who have real famine, people who are maybe stranded someplace in these storms, oh God, and people all around the world who pray your prayer, the one that you taught us, and the one that you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Down to us in Jesus. Would you take the hand of the person next to you, knowing that God's come down not just to you, but to us, and that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you. before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
amen. You have been listening to a production of the North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. To connect with us online, visit nbrc.com. Thanks for listening.